If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We will begin in that portion of Scripture. We will move to other portions to talk about the thief in the night. This is all in the realm of expectations God has for the church. God expects us to grow, to serve, to give, to send and be sent. He expects us to walk with Him. And listen, beloved, He expects us to be ready and be ready for the end of the age. It's no surprise to you that Israel has been bombarded with rockets, thousands of rockets. Thousands of people have lost their lives in the conflict in the Middle East. And people say, well, where are we staying in Scripture? What is this revolving around the end times? Now, Israel is central to end times theology or eschatology. And I'm not going to define all the points therein, but I do want to approach the end with the approach of thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse number 1 and read through verse number 4. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. There is a lot about prophecies and the end times, the eschaton, all pointing to Israel, but I want to bring this theme, this subject, this motif, if you will, about the thief in the night for us to approach the end in that way. Now, God wants us to be ready. And I want to show you through this scripture and three other pieces of scripture, four ways to be ready as His church. So number one, don't be surprised or alarmed. Don't be surprised or alarmed. Scripture tells us there are times and seasons that show us a lot is happening. But the day of the Lord has not yet come like a thief in the night. Now, when Israel was attacked, immediately people thought, we are in the end times. And in fact, since the age of the apostles, since Christ returned to heaven, He said, I'll come back the same way I descended to heaven or ascended to heaven. We are in the end times since that point. Are we closer than what we used to be? Absolutely. So about the seasoning, the seasons, the times, we know that there's happenings, but the day of the Lord has not yet occurred. The day of the Lord is a principle regarding the end. It's an Old Testament principle mentioned in the prophets. Christ talks about it. And it's going to come to a pinnacle in the end, in Revelation, the end of our time, a time of judgment and blessing. And Israel plays a role in that. It's a time of judgment and blessing. Now, many will preach and speculate a different message. It was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, before Israel was attacked, Benny Hinn, who many of us know, I hope many of us don't really support his ministry, but he gave a prophecy, which there are no more prophets among us, he gave a prophecy regarding Israel, that Israel would have peace in the Middle East. Can I tell you what happened with that prophecy? It was a false prophecy. Now, we don't do the old covenant way of handling false prophets in that way, but his prophecy was null and void. Many people preach peace or give a message of speculation, but believers, God's church, are not surprised. You're not caught off guard because we know about the thief. The thief attacks by surprise in John 10. Jesus tells us about the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does it in the cover of darkness. He does it when no one's watching. That's how the end of our age will occur. The thief in the night will come. In fact, Jesus speaks in these terms in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 8. And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I'm the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." Christ reaffirms this truth, this point, for us to be ready. We are not going to be alarmed. We're not going to be surprised. We're not going to be caught off guard, because we know this is going to happen. We know there's going to be famines and earthquakes. There's going to be natural disasters like none other. And there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There was a time during Operation Iraqi Freedom, or Enduring Freedom, whatever you want to call it, that many of us were activated, and my battalion got the orders we reported, and they said, "You'll be doing Homeland Security at Fort Sam Houston." Now, at that time, there was a lot of unknowns. Many groups all over the state of Arkansas were reporting to Camp Robinson. It was organized chaos as best you can describe it. Now, we knew the 39th Infantry Brigade, which is a massive group of soldiers. We knew they were there. And one of the captains caught me and said, "Rogers, what's going on? Where's the 212th going?" I said, "We've got our orders to go to Sam Houston." And I saluted him. And then I found out later that day the 39th was going to the Middle East. But until you get the orders, you don't know. And there's war, and there's rumors of war. And there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of tension, yes. But that's to be expected. We're not caught off guard. One of the preeminent preachers, in my estimation, is D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's the pastor of Westminster Chapel. In fact, he took that pastorate in 1939 in London. And this is right before the United Kingdom declared war on Germany. And the people of Great Britain knew what was coming. They saw the German military. They knew that the Germans had no reservations about bombing populated areas. And soon the war came to the heart of London. In 1939, Lloyd-Jones preached a series of sermons which prepared his people for war. He told them that whether the German bombs killed them or not, they should be prepared to stand before God. And he urged them to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ as their only hope. And throughout the war, people, rightfully so, evacuated London. And he continued to preach to whoever would come to Westminster Chapel. On one occasion, a bomb fell only a few yards from the church facility during a service, causing the plaster from the roof to fall upon the heads of the congregation. When the bomb hit, Lloyd-Jones was praying. He paused for a moment. He then finished his prayer, and he went to preach the sermon in its entirety. That man had some gumption, didn't he? Not only that, he is known as one of the best expositors or explainers of Scripture. He just had a way of explaining it, giving the details. But he talked about Hitler in one of his sermons on Romans chapter 1. He said, Hitler did not worry him. He asked, and they asked him why, or he proposed why. He then read Psalm 37. He said, "I've seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree, but he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found." Excellent sermon by Lloyd-Jones. To the church, for us to be ready, we're not going to be surprised, we're not going to be alarmed. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to Matthew 24. We just read from that chapter. A few verses from that text we just read, verse 36. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to start in verse number 36. "But concerning that day and hour, No one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that the master of the house, if he had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The second way in which we can be ready is to stay vigilant. I know the text says stay awake, but the idea of readiness is expressed through vigilance. Stay vigilant. Our goal in understanding the end times is to be watchful, to be observant. That's our goal. Now, here's what vigilance does not mean. Vigilance does not mean you have all the knowledge. When I got out of seminary the first time, I was pastoring, and I thought, I'm going to study Revelation, I'm going to study end times, and I'm going to solve this thing. And I had this process in my mind, this is the way I'm going to do it. And so far, so good. And it was working. And then I came to some parts of Scripture that did not make sense with my perspective. I had friends who had this doctoral seminar, eschatology, and I missed out because of timing. I wanted to take it. And I said, guys, what did you learn at the end of the seminar? They said, we're more confused than ever. And they read all the books, wrote all the papers, and they said, we're more confused. But that's because I believe God has designed the end times for us not to know. In his providence, in his omnipotence, he does not allow us to know. In fact, the angels don't even know. God the Son, in willing obedience and subservience, gives that right only to God the Father. Only God knows. You don't know. We don't even know the time. We don't know all the details, in fact, and we're not supposed to. So staying vigilant is not based upon knowledge. Life will be going on, enjoyment. There'll be relationships that lead to marriage. There'll be families. There'll be joyous times, just like in the days of Noah, until the door of the ark is closed. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Life will be going on, and suddenly the thief in the night strikes. That's the way of the thief. It will happen when we are not aware. Not only is staying vigilant not based on knowledge, staying vigilant is going to lead to a great separation in regards to the end times. That says that there are two men working. One will be taken, one will stay, one will be judged, one will be blessed, one will be here, one will be gone. Two women, and providing for their families, grinding at the mill to feed their loved ones. One will be taken, one will stay, one will be judged, one will be blessed, one will be here, one will be gone. Suddenly, swiftly, a thief strikes in the night. All of this happens quickly. Why? Because darkness hides a thief. They're unaware. Verse 43 of that text said, if the master had known what hour the thief would be coming, he'd have been ready. The thief would not break in. My uncle is a retired Methodist pastor, and he was assigned to a very crime-ridden community, which is not far from where we lived. And his house was broken into at times. The crime in that area was so bad, when his church would take the offering, there'd be people waiting in the back of the congregation to steal from the offering plate. It was terrible. Now, the thieves knew when to attack. And so in the newspaper of that community, it said that he will be conducting a funeral service at a certain time in a certain place on this day. And when he got back home from that funeral service, guess what happened? He was robbed. Even thieves can read the paper. And they struck at a time when he was not ready. As many of you know, we are growing pumpkins on our property. So thank you, youth, for your messiness. We have a great benefit. Your curse has been turned into a blessing, is what Scripture would say. And we've got four beautiful pumpkins sitting on our steps. We have more growing. But we've had someone sneak onto our property and destroy some pumpkins. Now, unbeknownst to them, I have some game cameras to capture wildlife, of course. And I believe I've caught the culprit. I have photographic proof I want to show you, church. Be aware of this guy in our community. Maybe you've seen him. He has a brother that's no longer on our property. And my wife and kids can attest to this. I go out and I look over our property at night with a flashlight. And sometimes I have other tools of the trade at my disposal. Take that as you will. But on live stream, it's just a flashlight. And so we look, and I'm looking for the thief in the night. I'll do this before I go to bed. I get up before my family. I will scan our area. Never have I caught him at night, because that's how the thief operates. When we're unaware, when we're unprepared or not observant. See, Pastor, how can we be ready for the real end times? To stay vigilant, to be watchful, to be observant. That's our role to play in this. Now, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Looking at the thief in the night. 2 Peter chapter 3 also speaks of this. In verse 10, it says this, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved in the earth, and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace." The third way you can be ready is to prioritize your relationship with Christ. I'm not going to teach you the finer points of eschatology. We're not going to unveil the mystery or mysterion of Scripture. But point three and point four are the greatest. If you remember nothing else, prioritize your relationship with Christ. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. 1 Thessalonians says, very suddenly. 2 Thessalonians says there's going to be lots of signs and the man of lawlessness. Interpret that as you will. Suddenly, and there's signs. Swiftness, but there's evidence. And when that happens, Scripture says the heavens will be destroyed. We're talking about destruction on the cosmic level, and I'm not an astrophysicist, but I don't understand how the heavens can burn. But Scripture says it's going to happen. It'll be a time of judgment, a time of blessing. Cosmic destruction like we've never seen. And let me explain this to you in these terms. With all these great cosmic things going on, there is nothing you can do about that. You say, Pastor, well, if I stockpile stuff and what I have a bunch of food and weapons, what are you going to do? You're not stopping anything. If anything, it's false security. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying you're not stopping the end times. How can we be ready? Great question. Personal holiness. There's certain things you can't control, but what you can control is yourself. It says in verse 11, based upon these events that's going to happen with the day of the Lord, the thief in the night, based on these events, live lives of holiness and godliness. Be ready for the thief. Be ready by living a prioritized life. In verse 14, Peter says, live your life without spot or blemish. That is a reference to the Old Testament, to the offering system, to the sacrificial worship system, that you presented the best you could. An animal, a sacrifice without spot or blemish, but now in the new covenant, he's saying, you present yourself without any spot or blemish. Be at peace. And how we do that, we prioritize our relationship with Christ. Let your focus for the end times be your relationship here and now. Don't worry about the end. Worry about now with Christ and be holy. Pursue godliness. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish. Listen to this. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Prioritize your relationship with Christ. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 16. We will just be in Revelation just a small portion of time. We're going to read this verse, then I'm going to read some others to support that. We talk about the thief in the night. Now we come to the words of our Lord Jesus. Verse 15 of chapter 16, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. The fourth final way to be ready is to be secure in the Lord. Jesus himself says, I am coming like a thief. In other places, he said, the Son of Man will return. That's his favorite designation of himself. But Jesus said, I'm coming back. And he tells us how he's coming back, like a thief. We say, well, won't he be coming back as the grand king of all the universe? That time will come, but in the suddenness, the swiftness, he is coming like a thief in the night, catching many unaware. And he says, because I'm coming back, in the fashion of coming back, he tells us the benefit. He says, whoever hears this and acts upon it will be blessed. If you want to be blessed, act like Jesus is coming back. Scripture says you'll be blessed. So whoever hears this, whoever follows this, God will bless. So the return of Christ, the day of the Lord, the end times, all these events that will happen, it will be spurred on like a thief in the night. It's unannounced, which is unusual for a king. But he tells us this repeatedly in Revelation. So Revelation 22. There'll be some supporting verses for this. He says in Revelation 22 and then verse 7, and behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22 and verse 12, behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. You say, Pastor, that's enough. No, it's not. Verse 20, he who testifies these things says surely, I'm coming soon, and John can't but help to say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And if we're honest, we've all had moments like that, like, Jesus, go ahead and come back. I'm tired of this world. I can remember in college, before an exam, like, God, if you want to come back, now would be a great time. And God, in his sovereignty, told me no by the answer to that request. But I'm secure in the Lord. I want him to come back. But sometimes people say, well, I've just built my business. Or I'm enjoying my retired life, or my kids, my grandkids, or hunting season. I don't, and they say it, they don't mean it. They're like, I don't want the Lord to come back yet. For whatever reason. Now, the return of Christ, the day of the Lord, the thief in the night, it either induces panic or it induces peace. There's no in-between with the Lord. It's either you're scared about the return of Christ or you're secure. There's no in-between. And so I would love to ask you where you stand with the Lord. Are you secure in the Lord? Are you ready for him to come back to give judgment and blessing? Because that's what the day of the Lord is. Are you ready to stand before a holy, righteous judge and give account? Maybe you're not ready because you don't have a relationship with Christ. You say, I'm very fearful for him to come back and for him to judge me. All you have to do is to believe in your heart and confess that truth with your mouth. No one is beyond the reach of God. No one is too far that the hand of the Lord cannot save them. The arm of the Lord is not short, and behold, he can save. In the first service, we got to baptize Bob Culp. At the age of 83, he prayed to receive Christ. He asked me after the service, he said, am I the oldest man you baptized? I said, so far you are, but we're working on some other people. God still saves. At any moment, if you call upon the name of the Lord in faith, Scripture gives us the promise of security. Maybe there's some decisions you put off. I'm going to tell you, you better quit waiting. We don't have the next moments promised to us. If you put off baptism or put off church membership, or maybe you've put off forgiving somebody or receiving forgiveness. Maybe you have some animosity, some angst between you and somebody else that is unresolved. Let me tell you, beloved, you need to handle it because Christ is coming back as a thief. Suddenly, swiftly. Now, I know there will be signs, there will be wars, rumors of wars, there will be famines and earthquakes. I understand all that. There's nothing biblically holding Christ back at this moment from returning. And that is what is scary in a sense, is very fearful or even terrible in a sense, but is quite blessed in another. Are you ready? Are you secure? Now, there is something we're going to do in just a moment. It's communion. It's Lord's Supper. It's a time we celebrate the death of Christ for us. And also, in 1 Corinthians 11, there's a direct correlation between Lord's Supper and end times. You know, the church, the early church in Corinth would take communion, and they would say, Maranatha, even so, Lord, come. That is the heart cry of John in the book of Revelation 22. And it's also this principle of obedience for us that we are going to keep taking communion until he comes back. If you need to make a decision after we take communion together, I'll be down front to receive you. But as I pray, I want you to pray. If you have any unconfessed sin in your life, repent of it. Refresh your relationship. Repent and get right. Rededicate your life before we come to his table. Father, we thank you that you know the hour, the exact moment when everything will unfold, and we don't have to know. But Father, one thing we do want to know is Christ, him crucified and risen again. Father, may that be what unites us, that we are children of God through the matchless grace of Jesus Christ. Father, if someone has never believed in him in their heart, whether they're here or listening online, Father, would they just simply trust in you? May they can confess that truth with their mouth. May they pray that unto you. For those that have put off decisions, that have put off prayers, who have put off forgiveness, Lord, the day is approaching. A day of judgment, a day of blessing. Father, may all of our security, every bit of it, may it be in you. Lord, we ask forgiveness of our sins as we come to your table. Lord, may it be a time of reflection, of celebration, but also may it be a time we look to the end, to your return. Father, I pray your blessing on our time of coming together for communion, but also our time of response. Father, may our lives be changed today. May they be changed in the coming days as we look to that day. Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.